Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
Pella Regional has a new director of the pharmacy department. Let's go in-depth with George Papineau, pharmacist. George, where are you from?
Originally from Nebraska, eastern Nebraska.
A small town, rural area, what?
So I lived in Omaha, I was born in Omaha, and lived there till I think sixth grade, and then my parents bought land out by Blair, Nebraska, which is just north of Omaha. And my dad built the house up there on 15 acres. And so from there, I started in seventh grade at Blair Junior Senior High School and graduated from there. So it's, at the time, it was a smaller community, but now with the growth of the Omaha Metro, it's almost a suburb, even though I think they're 20, 25 miles apart. The what is it, Highway 133 connector there has just exploded, so it's pretty populous now.
And then college and pharmacy school, where'd you go?
So for pre-pharmacy work, I went out to Shattern State College, which is a small state college out in the far northwest corner of Nebraska, kind of where the state meets the corners of Wyoming and South Dakota. And then from there, I was accepted into the University of Nebraska Medical Center College of Pharmacy in Omaha, Nebraska. So from Shattern, came back to Omaha to finish my pharmacy school.
When did you know that you wanted to be a pharmacist?
I think it was 11th grade, early into 11th grade is when I made the decision. And it was primarily fueled by, I had a strong interest in chemistry and biology, and I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I was teetering on veterinary medicine, but I was also very, very interested in electronics, so I was thinking about electrical engineering. And my sister started dating a guy that was in his fourth year of pharmacy school at UNMC in Omaha, and we got to talking. One day he was at the house and we got to talking, and he told me, you know, he's asking me, do you like chemistry? I'm like, yeah. You like biology? Yeah. And he's like, have you ever thought about a career in pharmacy? I'm like, no, not really. And so he was close to graduating and told me about it and told me how the profession was really evolving from retail to some of the opportunities in clinical practice and how hospital roles were really expanding, and sounded really interesting to me. So I started shadowing in pharmacies, and I think what really kind of sold me was I went out and all the way to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, to Regional West Medical Center. There were a couple of pharmacists out there that were really, really progressive in the rural arena, and I'd heard about them, and they were interested in growing rural practice. So I went out there and spent a few days out there and saw how they participated in rounds, direct patient care, and even some of the stuff they were doing, the outpatient model, was just really intriguing. And from there, I made my mind that's what I wanted to pursue. And I knew, you know, what, very competitive to get in, but I knew that if I went to Shattern and I kept my GPA up where it needed to be, there was a really high likelihood I would get into the program over at UNMC.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with George Papineau, director of the pharmacy department at Pella Regional. Do you remember, this is an odd question, but do you remember the first prescription you filled?
I don't remember the first one, but I very distinctly remember the minute my license became active. Mm-hmm. I was working in Colorado at that time, so out of school, I went to work in retail for regular retail chain, and I was working as a graduate intern because my license hadn't been issued. I'd taken my MPGA or MPE and my NAPLEX, and I was just waiting for my results to post. And so the other pharmacist was overseeing my work. I couldn't, even though I was a graduate pharmacist, I wasn't licensed. And I remember it was like 1:30 in the afternoon, and I kept checking the Board of Pharmacy website to see if my license had been issued. And it was issued, and I said to the other pharmacist, I said, "I'm licensed, it's issued." And he looked at me and said, "Well, good, you're on your own now. I'm leaving early for the day." Kind of the weight of the world hit me, and I'm like, wow, I am responsible for everything right now. And there's nobody to double check me. I'm the guy that has to double check everybody, and I can't make a mistake now. So that day was quite frightening, and it was overwhelming, but I remember that day very well.
And you're now running the pharmacy for Pella Regional, and you're the big boss now.
Well, I'm not a big, positional title-based leader, but we're a team here, but yeah, I guess I consider myself kind of the team lead. So
yeah. Well, and it was fun to come in. It seems like I know half of your staff, but that's really nice to see the familiar faces for me. Yeah. Probably is for a lot of other people in town.
Yeah, it's we have a great staff here. I am really impressed with the staff. I've only been here 5 or 6 weeks now, but a very bright group, very engaged group, and we spot a little opportunity for improvement, and they are all over it. So I'm really excited to work with this team, and even the organization, has a very strong reputation here for quality and service, and you can see it everywhere in this facility. I've worked a lot of places over the years. I used to work for a company in the area that was affiliated with a lot of rural facilities, and my role there was I would go out and staff at those other hospitals and do some light project work and stuff. So I've been to a lot of those facilities, and I've done some contract relief work over the years. So I've probably worked in 20 to 25 different hospitals over the past 20 years, and as a contractor or various roles, I really like what I see here. It's a really nice facility, and there's some good things happening here.
So. Now, this is going to seem like an odd question, but how many medicines do you have behind these walls? I mean, really, there's got to be a bunch, right?
I think we have around 800 different drugs on formulary here. So, yeah, there's a lot. And we are, a smaller facility compared to like a big tertiary center in Iowa City or Des Moines, but we have a lot of medications here, and we have a very robust oncology program here. And with that comes a wide array of medications for that. And even in that field, we have new medications coming out all the time. Immunotherapy is not just your traditional chemotherapy. Some of the drugs you'll see on TV that end in, the MABs or some of those drugs, and it changes very quickly. So we're adding drugs quite frequently.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with George Papineau, director of the pharmacy department at Pella Regional. So how do you know when to add a drug?
So a lot of times in the oncology arena, a new drug will come to market, a new study will come to market, and an oncologist will order the medication, and then we'll review it and order it for that patient's treatment plan. When we talk about like the hospital side for like MedSurg or ED or those departments, we have a formulary review process. So if there's a new drug, the providers will request it. There's a formal process. They'll request it, and then it goes to Pharmacy and Therapeutics Committee, the P&T Committee, for review, and we look at the cost-benefit ratio of that drug, and we look at comparator drugs that may be equally efficacious or lower cost. So there's a bunch of different factors we weigh on that. and then the P&T committee votes on whether or not we add it to the formulary.
So that can take some time. What if the doctor wants it right away?
If the doctor wants it right away, we can do, you know, bypass P&T short term and get kind of like an emergency use for that drug. But it wouldn't be added to formulary. It would be reviewed on a case-by-case basis. I don't know the entire process being new here, but typically it would be reviewed by the director of pharmacy and the chief medical officer, and then we'd buy it, you know, for that particular case, and then it would go to P&T review at the next P&T meeting.
And so how do you keep track of when something's expired? I mean, you have to be moving things all the time, right?
Yeah, we have, so we have automated dispensing cabinets in all the patient care areas. So medications are kept up in those nursing units in these automated medication dispensing machines. And those run on a perpetual inventory model. And so when the pharmacy technicians restock those, they put in the expiration date, and then we run cycle counts on those and get reports that tell us when those are outdating. So the automation is a lot easier to manage because it basically tells us by report when we need to do that, but we still audit them every month. In terms of the pharmacy, the main pharmacy here, we've got a lot of inventory on the shelves. Where we're at right now, we pretty much have to walk the shelves and once a month and look at those and use like a sticker system on when the new next item, you know, is outdating. So we look at all the bins, but we can see like one bin may have a red sticker that has, you know, like 2/2022, and that alerts us that that has inventory that's going to expire in February. But we're looking at ways to improve that. We're looking at some vendors that offer a virtual inventory model where we, when we receive drugs, we enter them into the software, and then it integrates with our automated dispensing machines. So we know exactly the amount we're carrying through the whole organization at any time, and we know the expiration dates of the locations. So say we had a dispensing cabinet on MedSurge and we had a medication there, and that stock of the medication was kept in the pharmacy on a shelf, we can run a report and it'll tell us the stock in the pharmacy is expiring, say, in February, and the stock in the dispensing machine is expiring in February. So it takes away that human factor where we have to walk the shelves. But on the front end, you have to be really diligent about when you check your order in each day from the wholesaler, making sure you're updating your inventory into that system.
Now, over the years, you know, going and visiting different hospitals, occasionally I'll run into often two people, and they're always young, attractive, dressed well with a case, and I know, oh, those are pharmacy reps. Does that happen?
I don't really work with drug reps here. It's really tightened up. You know, they used to kind of come and go, and they'd give, you know, all the pens and notepads and buy dinners and stuff, but regulations have really brought a halt to that type of activity. And inpatient pharmacy standpoint, we really don't have much influence on getting a provider to prescribe a high dollar new drug. We have so many medications that are, in my opinion, that are older, on formulary, generic, very, very affordable and very, very effective, that there's not a lot of benefit to go into new ultra high dollar innovator drugs. We can manage a lot of stuff with agents that have been around for a while.
It always looks sort of sketchy to me.
Yeah, I would agree.
So do you have first, how big is your team?
We have 5 pharmacists here, and then I'm the pharmacy manager, and so I'm a pharmacist also. And then in terms of techs, we have 5 full-time techs and 1 as-needed tech.
Do you have a philosophy of leadership?
I do have a philosophy of leadership. Lead by example, first and foremost. Never compromise, and have a very high level of integrity.
Never compromise.
Yep.
I don't even know what that would mean. In that, you with respect to dealing with staff, never compromise.
With staff, safety, or quality.
Never compromise.
Yep.
Safety or quality.
Yep.
Excellent. Okay. And that has repercussions throughout the community everybody's served.
Exactly. pharmacy really impacts every part of the hospital. It impacts the community in so many different ways, whether it's inpatient or outpatient, making sure people have medications they need to stay healthy, they have access to those when they're in the hospital, that we have a robust formulary that meets their needs if they're hospitalized, and making sure when they're discharged, they have access to pharmacies to get the ongoing maintenance medications filled. So, you know, here we have the inpatient pharmacy, which I oversee, and then we've got the outpatient pharmacies up on the square and in Prairie City. So we can see, you know, take care of patients after the fact too, within our umbrella of Pella Regional Health Center.
And so how does it feel knowing that you and your team every day are, through your prescriptions, are saving lives or making people's lives better? How does that make you feel?
It's overwhelming at times. I mean, it's a lot of responsibility, and there's a lot of weight on pharmacy because we're kind of the silent party in the background that I think makes everything happen. We always get drugs no matter what the shortage is. We always get things out there when they're needed, and I think that sometimes pharmacy's kind of in the background working and reviewing charts, making sure patients' medications are dosed right for renal function or things that, you know, like that that come up. And they tend to be a humble group and pretty quiet, so they're not always out there saying, hey, I did this or I did that. And I think as a group, we just take pride in knowing that we were able to have that positive intervention, even though we don't get a lot of praise and accolades for it. It's just kind of rewarding to know that I made that decision, presented to the provider, the recommendation was accepted, and now that patient will likely have a better outcome because of that. So it's an incredible privilege. And, you know, on the flip side, this the practice of pharmacy can be really overwhelming because there's so much risk. We never want to make a mistake, and everybody's, you know, fallible. So we try and develop process and systems to avoid mistakes at all costs, but you know, that's always a risk factor. So that always weighs heavy on our minds every time we work. But you know what, I think with experience, I wouldn't say we become complacent, but you know, we become more comfortable knowing that we have that great amount of responsibility. So.
Thanks to George Papineau for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.